My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, a very well-respected Middle East scholar. He's currently an advisor to the U.S. Congress on the Middle East and terrorism. He is also the author of numerous books, the latest of which is The Lost Spring. Today we want to get his thoughts on the terrorism and hostage crisis that played out in Sydney, Australia, for some 17 hours over the past couple of days, and the likelihood of something like that playing out in our own country. And Dr. Faris, it's always good to talk with you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me today, Greg.
Now, compared to an elaborate plot to attack thousands of people, as we've seen terrorists do in the past, one person walking into a business and holding people hostage and threatening to kill them seems much harder to sniff out ahead of time. So is this episode that we've seen play out in Sydney a reflection of a new radical Islamic strategy?
Yes, Greg, indeed. What we see right now is the infamous doctrine, which has been pushed by Al-Qaeda and applied by ISIS, that is death by a million cuts, meaning you don't have to have large operations involving large cells or multiple individuals. What you have to have is one jihadist. That person doesn't need to be connected to the organization. All what is needed is to inspire that person, to have indoctrinated that person or self-indoctrinated, as we saw in the cases of Quebec and Toronto and Ottawa, and of course the several cases we saw on both sides of the Atlantic. These individuals will wage their action. It doesn't matter if they are successful or not. They are intimidating. They are terrorizing. That's what the ideology would want to do.
Is there specific encouragement from terrorist groups to do this? Is it kind of implied at this point? How does the message get through?
First, what I call standing orders. Both Al-Qaeda and also, obviously, ISIS have issued in the past, specifically in the past 6 months, more recently, calls for all jihadists. They call them Muslim, in fact, jihadists. Not every person is a jihadist, to do whatever they can to act against the United States, its allies, including in Great Britain, France, and also in Australia, so that they would weaken the resolve in the West, so that the West will stop its campaign in Iraq and in Syria. I'm not sure about the case of what happened in Sydney. We would know more if Sheikh Man Harun Mu'nis was or was not linked or not, but most likely he was inspired by this ideology.
Well, let's follow up on that point, because initially, since there was an Islamic flag put in the window of this cafe, it was thought to be connected to ISIS, and then it's discovered that he's an Iranian cleric, or at least a self-proclaimed Iranian cleric. How significant is that difference?
We have to be very well informed. I monitored anchors and I monitored commentators in Australia and in the West in general. They panicked when they saw the flag. They felt this is ISIS. In fact, this is a jihadi flag. It would apply to Al-Qaeda, it would apply to Ansar al-Sharia, it would apply to ISIS. And in this case, as I have studied well, it would even apply to the other side of the Sunni jihadists, to the Shia jihadists, such as Hezbollah. Yes, he was born and raised as a Shia Iranian. He came to Australia, and then he shifted. He became a Salafist, according to his own website. So he's a kind of a very strange bird who has mutated from one side to the other side of jihadism. The result is the same. He believes in the general action against the West, against Australia, and against, of course, what he considers the enemy of the caliphate or the enemies of the jihadists.
Dr. Faris, as you mentioned, you very closely monitored the coverage of the hostage crisis in Sydney, and a lot of folks are commenting on the media coverage both there and here. Even when the flag went up, there were a lot of folks saying, well, we can't be too quick to paint with a broad brush here, and we don't know exactly what the motivations are, and it's really important that there's no anti-Muslim backlash. You've spoken out for years on the need to educate people about what's really inspiring these things, so what do you make of that type of commentary?
The problem with uninformed, naive, or misled reactions such as the ones you have mentioned, and I've heard and I saw them, is that they create the backlash before it's created. They start to talk about Islamophobia and backlash against communities before this even happened, and before being informed that in the Middle East, jihadists are actually attacked or stricken by Muslims themselves. So they create a problem where the problem is not there. But the most important debate was about the flag, that where's the message? The flag is the message. Only the jihadists will use the flag in a violent action, not the Boy Scouts. So we need to do a lot of education and information, and academia, unfortunately, and part of the media has not been very helpful here in the States and the West in general.
Dr. Faris, exit question here. So if, in fact, this is kind of the new strategy from terrorist organizations, you're going to have some people saying, well, we got to make sure that more people can carry guns. On the other side of the political debate, they'll say, well, we got to make sure there's ample security pretty much everywhere people go in public. So from a scholarly perspective, what's the best way to prepare and prevent things like this?
Education, education, and education. Before looking at guns, before looking at law enforcement, before looking at anything else, we need to educate our public. We need the President of the United States to deliver a speech on what is this ideology. We need Congress to legislate. And once that is done, then each one has a homework to do. Law enforcement are focusing on one issue. Civil society is part of it. And, of course, we're going to have NGOs of moderate Muslims who would go against the jihadists. It's a whole construct. Unfortunately, all the way up in the top, you know, the leadership, the president, the executive branch are not on the same page of the strategy yet of now.
Dr. Farris, so a lot more work to be done, clearly. Thank you for your insights today. We appreciate them very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
You bet. Dr. Waleed Farris is a well-regarded Middle East scholar. He's an advisor to the U.S. Congress on the Middle East and terrorism, author of numerous books, the latest of which is The Lost Spring. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.